As we began a discussion in our previous shiur, the Shulchan Aruch taught us in Simen Reish Gimel Sif Aleph that somebody should avoid making nedarim. The Rishonim give two reasons why someone should avoid making nedarim. One is, of course, because there's a concern that one will violate the nether that he made. The other reason, which the Ran gives, quoting a Yerushalmi, is if the Torah told us something is mutter, why are you taking something which the Torah said is mutter and treating it as usur? If the Torah wanted it to be usur, the Torah would have said so. The fact that the Torah didn't say that it's usur, you should not make it usur. And as the Gemara teaches us on Daf Chaf Beis, that besides the various lavin and mitzvahs asay that we identified in our previous shiur, one is over if he violates a nether. Chazal said that by violating a nether, he causes that death should come to his family. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis says, "Reb Nosson Omer, Bavoy Nedarim, Ishta Shel Adam Meisa, Shenemar, Im Ein Lecha L'Shalim, Lama Yikach Mishkofcha Mitachtecha." Rabbi Omer, Bavoy Nedarim, Bonem Meisim K'shem K'tanim, Shenemar, Al Titein Es Picha, Lachti Es Besorcha. And in fact, the Zohar says that the reason Rachel died was because Yaakov Avinu delayed in fulfilling his nether. As we, however, said, that if the Shulchan Aruch taught us, if there's a tzorich in making a nether, if there's a purpose in making a nether, then it's permitted. But as we will discuss in the Gemara, as the Gemara teaches us on that base of a base, the Gemara teaches us that there are nedarim and there are shvuas. Certainly, a shvua is more severe than a nether. The Gemara Masechta Shvuas Daf Mem Tes teaches us, B'shosh Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'shisa Shem Alekecha L'shav Nizdazei Ha'olam. The world trembled at that point. And the Medrash Tanchuma and Parashas Matos teaches us that if somebody violates a Shvua, he's considered a Kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we explained, that certainly there are opinions that say that it's shvua, you can never be matter. A nether, as we're going to learn extensively in our Masechta, you could be mefer, you could be matter, a shvua, perhaps not. Particularly, as we're hopefully going to discuss in the next shiur, there are many opinions that a shvua is only a shvua if you say Shem Hashem. A nether, everybody agrees, does not require the Shem Hashem to be effective, and therefore a person, the shvua, is much more chomer and should be treated. And therefore, even if somebody is saying the truth, a person should avoid making a shvua. The Ramah in Chai Shemishpit in Simen Tzadik Vav teaches us that particularly a woman, when she's pregnant, should not make a shvua. If somebody is making a shvua, somebody should not, Chas v'Shalom, connected to his life or to the life of his any family members. Particularly, the Tzavas, Rabbi Yudah Chosid, speaks very strongly what are the consequences of making a shvur that way. And that's why the Pesachei Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Pei Zayin, Sifkotin Chof Beis, quoting a Tshuva's Chacham Sofer and Simen Tzadik, many times the Gemara, in different Masechtas, actually in Masechta the Ksubis that we just finished learning, we have that quite often. The Gemara says that given under certain circumstances, somebody should make a shvua. Says the Chacham Sofer that we avoid making shvuas. Because he says, the Gemara says, Chazal teach us, Elef Ayaris Hoyo L'Yanai. Yanai had 1,000 cities. V'kula Nechavu, and all of the cities were destroyed. Al shvuas emes. Even though they made shvuas emes, still, it's something that should be avoided. And therefore, it becomes incredibly important to learn Hilchos Nedarim and Hilchos Shvuos. Because there are many situations where someone who isn't knowledgeable in these halachas will express himself in a certain way and will think, will not recognize that what he just did was make a shvua. There are opinions, however, that say that if somebody is concerned that he's being accused falsely and that the only way he can take that accusation off is by making a shvua, then perhaps a shvua may be made. But as I said, our minig is that we try to avoid making shvuas. And I saw recently an incredible story that the Machzor Avraham used to say. The Machzor Avraham was the Rav of Brod, and when a din Torah would come to him, and if it was a situation that the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch says that a shvua should be made, and one of the parties, the party that was obligated to make a shvua, said, okay, if that's what I have to do to clear or to get what I want, I'll make a shvua. So the Machzor Avraham would tell them, before you make a shvua, even though the halacha tells you to make a shvua, I want to tell you a story. We all know Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, the Nesivist, the Urim V'Tumim, the tremendous Talmud Chacham. He says, was once traveling in a wagon together with other people. Rabbi Yaakov Melissa was very poor. He was sitting in the corner, not minding his own business, but obviously looking like a very poor person. And there were other individuals sitting in the wagon. And all of a sudden, there was a wealthy individual sitting in that wagon. And he gives a scream. My wallet is missing. And I had a lot of money in my wallet. Immediately, a tumult begins in the wagon. Everybody, of course, denying that they knew or had the money. And then the rich person put his eyes on the Nesivus. Obviously, he didn't know he was the Nesivus. And said, you are obviously a very poor person. You must have been the individual who stole my wallet. Of course, he denies it. He said, I would have never done something. He says, we're coming to the first town, and I'm taking you to the Rav with my accusation. They come to that town, and they come to the Rav, and again, of course, the Rav did not know that this is the Nesivus, and this wealthy person says, I lost my wallet, and this is the man who stole my money. The Rav says, the halacha is that you have to swear to clear your name. The Nesiva says, I refuse to swear. So the wealthy man says, oh, here we have a proof that he's the ganef. He's refusing to swear. Then Sivas asks, how much money did you have in the wallet? So he says the amount of money. He says, I'm willing to give you half that amount just that I shouldn't have to swear. The wealthy person says, I refuse. I want my money. And you're the ganef, and I want all my money. So the Nesiva says, okay, I'll give you 3/4 of the amount of money you had. And the wealthy person still isn't ready to give up. The Nesiva says, I'll give you 90%. And now, of course, the wealthy person is thinking to himself, the fact that he's willing to spend so much money is clearly an indication that he was the ganef. And he's not going to let up. I want all of my money. At that point, the Nesiva says, I have no choice. I'm going to have to swear. But give me a couple of moments. I want to be mispalel before I have to swear. As he's standing in the corner being mispalel, one of the other passengers on the wagon comes and admits that he was the person that stole the money and gives back his wallet. The Rav of that city obviously at this point recognized that he wasn't just dealing with a regular individual, that he was dealing with a great person. And he turns around to the Nesivas and he says, I demand, as the Rav of this town, that you identify yourself. At that point, the Nesivas had no choice, and he identified himself. The Rav, of course, was very shaken that this is the way he treated the Nesivas. And the Nesivas said, you shouldn't be upset. You did what the halacha tells you to do. The halacha says that the halacha in such a situation is that I should make a shvua. So the Rav asks him, if you're saying that I did the right thing, and that indeed the halacha says that under these circumstances you should make a shvua, and you indeed, as we now clearly see, know that you weren't the ganef, so why don't you just make the shvua? Says the Nesivas. Because even though the halacha says that under these circumstances a shvua should be made, I also know how concerned we need to be about making a shvua, as we're discussing, and how much one should avoid making a shvua. And therefore, I was trying to avoid making a shvua. So now the Rav says to the Nesivas, I really don't understand. So what happened that you offered this much money, but when you came to 90%, at that point, you were ready to make the shvua? What changed? So the Nesivas said, every time I made an offer, making a calculation, do I have the financial ability to pay this obligation, this amount of money? And until I came to 90% of the money that was stolen, I made all sorts of calculations that if I sell all of my assets and I take on all sorts of obligations, I'll be able to pay it up. More than 90%, with all the calculations, with all the obligations that I was prepared to take upon myself, I couldn't do more. That's why at that point I was ready to make a shvua. Said the Machs Avram, the holy Nesivas, the Heilige Nesivas, that knew he wasn't a ganef, and knew that he would make the shvua, would be an honest shvua, went out of his way to avoid making a shvua. Everyone else should learn from that, how much we should avoid, how much we should go out of our way to avoid making a shvua. And therefore, if somebody makes a shvur, if somebody accepts something upon himself, even if it's a dvar mitzvah, particularly as we begin learning now that many times when somebody expresses or obligates himself, he's really making a shvur or a neder without knowing, he should always say b'li neder. Of course, I saw that the Paiskim say that even if somebody said b'li neder, that doesn't absolve you from fulfilling what you're obligated. The Shailos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Yud Simen Kuf Nun Vav teaches us that the Rishonim, the Rashbats, say Moitzes Osayim, the obligation of fulfilling what you said applies even if you said B'lei Neder. And certainly we know the Torah teaches us Midvar Sheker Tichak. So even if you said B'lei Neder, doesn't absolve you from fulfilling your obligation. However, as much as it doesn't absolve you, it's still not the same as violating a neder. Rav Moshe Sternberg in the Shailos HaTshuvos, Tshuvos Hanchagos, Chelek Gimel Simen Kof Samach wants to suggest that even if you said B'li Neder, you are over and you don't fulfill what you obligated yourself, you're over the lav of Kechol Hayotze Mipiv Yase. And therefore, a person should, even if he said B'li Neder, it maybe works that it's not considered that you made a neder or a shvur, but certainly it's not considered something that one should violate. And the halacha is that the Chachmas Adam says that even if somebody already made a neder, but if toich k'dei dibur of making a neder, he said the words B'li Neder, it will not be considered as if he made a neder. And his explanation is very obvious. Since the halacha is the toich k'dei dibur of making a neder, one could regret and retract the neder. So just like you could retract on the neder, so too, if you say b'li neder, it will not be considered as if it was a neder. Moreover, the Paiskim say, if you made a neder, and you said you made a neder publicly, but you said b'li neder quietly, the Rebbe Akiva Eger in Simen Reish Yud Aleph says that it'll work. He says, even though the halacha is, we spoke about end of the Masechta Ksubis, the concept of Mesiris Meida, says Rebbe Akiva Eger, that even though the halacha is regarding Mesiris Meida, that must be done in front of Edom, the halacha of B'li Neder to be done quietly. The Chachmas Adam disagrees, and he says that in order for B'li Neder to be effective, it has to be said out loud. Everybody agrees that not saying it, but just thinking it is not considered effective, and you have to at least say the words B'li Neder. You have to at least say the words B'li Neder out loud. You should at least say the words B'li Neder.